I think it should be on. We are going to try again this evening to see if the Apostle Paul has some information for us concerning his missionary travels. Tomorrow evening we'll do something a bit different still. If you want to follow along, turn in your Bible, Acts chapter 16. Now I'm not going to be going exactly verse by verse. I will read some of the verses that are there. But we'll be in Acts chapter 16, 17, and 18. So you'll follow along there. We're going to be looking at what the Apostle Paul has done. Before we do, though, we have some business to take care of here. The theme is?
People need the Lord.
All right. People need the Lord. And what are we talking about in the evening here? Going where no one has gone before. But does that mean there aren't any people there?
No.
It means that what hasn't gone there before? The gospel. The gospel. The message of hope still lives. Okay? Remember, last night, the Apostle Paul ended up back in Antioch. He had completed his missionary journey. But the hope, the message of hope still lives. And we'll be looking at those passages of Scripture. Who was the missionary in the Bible lesson last night? This is a complicated one.
Yeah.
Saul. And he changed his name to?
Apostle Paul.
He changed his name to the Apostle Paul. Actually, he didn't call himself an apostle. The Lord did. The Lord commissioned him, sent him, called him an apostle. He says in another passage of Scripture, apostle by the will of God, not by his own will, but by the will of God. That's important. Because I don't become a preacher just because I want to. I become a preacher because that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I follow and obey God. That's exactly right. Who traveled with him? Do anybody remember who traveled with him? Barnabas. Very good. And she can catch, too. Sort of. All right. Who traveled with? What did they do when their travels were finished? What did they do? They did something. Went back to Antioch, but they did something when they got back to the church at Antioch. They gave a report. Very good. Somebody was listening last night. Awesome. Let's see. Oh, I know. What was the message of hope they took to everyone? I can't hear. The what? About Jesus. And we called it something. Sorry. We called it the
gospel.
The gospel. And the gospel is made up of what we call three things that we call the gospel. The blank, the blank, the blank. Austin, isn't that your name? All right, death, burial, and resurrection. You better death, burial. So, I got you anyway. Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he die for us? Because we are sinners. And he died for our sin. He was buried and then he rose again for our justification, or to demonstrate that that sin debt was paid for. And so we can have what? I hear it. Everlasting life or eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the churches that the Apostle Paul established on his first missionary journey, he wanted to go back. in chapter 15, in verse 40, I'll read these verses, and it says, Paul chose Silas, departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now I want you to think. Okay, guys? In verse 1 of chapter 16, then he came to Derbe and Lystra. What happened to me at Lystra? Does anybody know what happened to me at Lystra? I got stoned, and they did what? Clearing the back door and said, yes, you. Kicked him out of the town. That's right. I knew that pal kid was good for something. Yeah. All right, they kicked him out. They drug him out of town. They left me laying there as if I was what?
Dead.
And what did I do?
You got up and left.
Yeah, you. Okay, I got up and walked, but where did I go? This is what's amazing. I got up and I went back to, say it,
Lystra.
I went back to Lystra. Well, now on the next missionary journey, I'm going to go back there again. There's some really awesome Christian people there, and they need to know the Lord, and they need to be strengthened in the Lord, and they need to walk with the Lord. So I'm going to go back to Lystra. And I'm so thankful that they didn't stone me again. That would have been a bit more than I could handle. But you know what I found in Lystra? I found a young man. Probably, if I remember right, he would have been in his middle teenage years. Somewhere in there. Also, that'd be 15, 16? Something like that. His name was Timothy. And that young man loved the Lord, and he loved the Lord so much that I said, you know what, Timothy? You come along with me on our journey. We're going to go visit some churches. And his mother was a believer, and she said, okay, he can go along with you. Make sure you bring him back. So we did that. We brought him back. So Timothy joined Silas and myself, and we're traveling. I remember what we're reading from the Bible in Acts. Dr. Luke wrote that. Dr. Luke was also, he traveled with us a lot as well. And so he recorded all these things. So, you know, he kept a diary. Now, not really a diary. Girls keep diaries. Guys keep journals, right? Yeah, so it's like a journal. So he keeps a journal. He recorded these things so that we could know and remember and tell other people what the Lord had done, so we could give a report what the Lord. But there we were in Lystra, and Timothy joined us, and we traveled to some more churches, and you know, like I said, that hope was still alive. But we wanted to go up into the northern part, and the Lord kept shutting the door. He kept telling us, no, you can't go there. You can't go there. So we kept praying for, where in the world? We're not going to go to Asia or Bithynia. On the north side of Turkey. You remember the map up there. It was on the top side there where the Black Sea was. And he said, don't go there. But he said, no. I had a dream one night. A vision. And in my vision, there was this man standing in Macedonia. Macedonia is across the sea there. Okay? It's in what's now the land of Greece. Well, it's a little bit north of the country of Greece. They're in Macedonia. And there was a man in Macedonia saying, come here! Come here! Come over here! We want to hear the good news! We want to hear the gospel! What do you think we did? We went over there. Yeah, we landed in one town and traveled and, oh man, you know, we ended up in the town of Philippi. So we went to Macedonia and ended up in that town. Right there, Philippi. You know, there wasn't a synagogue there. Now, you remember last night we talked about the fact that I went to the synagogues and I teach in the synagogue because they already had the scriptures there. But there wasn't a synagogue there, but there was a group of people, a little group of Jews. They would go down to the river and they would meet outside. They'd meet out there, kind of like camp here. Only we're in a building here. They weren't even in a building. They were just outside beside the river. It wouldn't work as good for us to go down to the beach and have our meeting down there. Be kind of cool. Be actually cool. Nice and cool instead of hot. Yeah. But they were meeting out there by the river. And it said that they prayed together. So there's this group of people down there. There's one lady there. Her name is Lydia. And this lady, Lydia, she believed on the Lord Jesus. And she said, you come and you stay at my house. And I said, okay, yeah, we'll stay at your house. And so we would go down to the river to have our prayer meeting. And then we'd go down to the river the next day and have our prayer meeting. And then we'd go back home and then we'd go down the river and have a prayer meeting. So we did that every day. Well, while we're going down to the river to have our prayer meeting, there's this girl that, well, Dr. Luke says she had the spirit of divination. She had a demon living in her. And she was telling people's fortunes. Yeah, and sometimes they come true and sometimes they don't, you know? But she had that living in her, and she would follow us saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. And it was like, oh my goodness. And the one day, I was like, okay, I can deal with that. Then the next day we go down the river. These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants. You know, after like 3 or 4 days, I get kind of tired of that. And then Dr. Luther in the Bible said, and Paul got annoyed. Yeah, that's kind of annoying. Not only that, there's something else that's important about that. God does not need the evil spirits telling people about Him. They don't need, you just need to believe the truth of God's Word. We need to believe God. So I turned around and I said, evil spirit, come out of her. And the evil spirit came out. Oh man, I'm in trouble now. Because there were some men that were holding her like a slave. And they were making money off of her fortune telling. She would tell people what their fortune is. Sometimes you see a picture where they look in their crystal ball, and she didn't even have a crystal ball or nothing like that. But she would tell the fortunes of tomorrow you are going to fall into the lake. Well, okay, if you go through and you're going to do what? Fall in the lake. I mean, that's no big deal. Tomorrow you are going to go tubing. I'm at camp. What else are you doing at camp? You know? Now, you understand what I'm saying. Well, now she can't do that anymore because she doesn't have that spirit of divination, that evil spirit living in her anymore. And the men who owned her are angry at me. Oh, my goodness, they're angry at me. Matter of fact, they were so angry. Let me end it just a minute here. I got to get something here. You think there's a walking stick, but really, it's something else for tonight. But they were so angry at me that it says they took Paul and Silas, this is what Luke recorded, and they beat us with rods. And it says they laid many stripes on us. And that word stripes means they put a hurt on us. And they beat us with rods. They take a rod and they just beat us. You want to stay out here? Let me hear you so I can demonstrate. Well, you know, you'd have to. I'm not going to make you do it, but you'd have to take your shirt off and everything. They stripped until the backs were bare, and they beat until the backs were bloody. Can you imagine? They did that because I did something good for that little girl? Does that make sense to you?
No,
but that's the way evil is. They were more concerned about their money from that little girl and keeping her in slavery than they were about that little girl and her soul. And so they beat us with rods. They beat us with rods and Silas too. They beat both of us. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, they put us in prison. The girl was free from the demon, the evil spirit, but then they put us in prison. And that's kind of what it looked like. Yeah, it's not exactly right, because actually when I was in prison, this picture is not exactly right, because when I was in prison, I didn't even have a shirt on my back. It was all bloody and beaten and whatever, and I didn't even have a shirt on my back. But we were sitting there, and you know what? You ever been somewhere, and there's some bloody stuff, whatever, and it's warm outside, and there's flies and gnats that come? Well, that part's pretty accurate right there, because my hands are up there, and I couldn't even scratch my nose with it. My nose would answer the flies, and I couldn't do anything with that. And you know, I think we sat there and we thought about that for a little bit. You know what we did? We started complaining. You think that's right? No, it's not right. What good would it do to complain? Would it get us out of the stocks? That's what those things are, where your feet are in, you know? Can you imagine having your feet locked in there and you can't move them? Can't move your knees, you can't really move. You try to move around. If I try to move around, my back would hurt so bad because it was beating. And we're sitting in there. And Dr. Luke recorded that it was about midnight. Hadn't been sleeping much. Kind of hard to sleep like that. Right? We started singing hymns. Well, all we knew was the Psalms, but we were singing the Psalms of David, the Psalms that David had wrote. And then we were having a great time. And then we would sing a couple of songs, and then we would pray. So Lord, thank you for your strength for us. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient. Thank you for the gospel that saved us. Thank you that we can take the message of the gospel to these people here. And thank you that little girl is freed from the evil spirit. And thank you, Lord. We're just thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. And then we start singing again. You know what happened? We just walked out of the prison. No, that's not what happened. You know, we're sitting there singing, and all of a sudden the prison starts shaking. I mean, it is shaking and shaking. It's an earthquake. You know, I thought about this afterwards. I did. They put us in what's called the inner prison. That's like the dungeon. That's like down underneath everything else. That's like way back in there. And you know what happens when earthquakes come? Everything falls
down.
Yeah, it falls in. It falls down. What do you think happened to us? It's a miracle that God did. I know it is. But can you believe it? And I tried to figure this out too. How an earthquake could unlock those shackles. But it did. Our hands came out, and this stock was unlocked. Doesn't that make any sense that an earthquake would do that?
No.
I don't think so.
The angel of God did it.
You think the angel of God did it? Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe God did it. Unlocked it. But we're down here in that dungeon, and like I said, I thought about this a lot. Afterwards, it was like all those stones and rocks and everything that were on top of us when they built that building should have come falling in on us, but they didn't. All it did, it just shook everything like crazy, and all the prisoners, not just Silas and me, but all the prisoners were loose. That's pretty amazing. So what happens? Well, the jailer, he comes, and it's like, oh man, this jailer knows he's had it now, because if all the prisoners are loose, they're going to escape. And in Rome, you know, that's who we're under. We're under Roman rule. And in Rome, if the prisoners escape, the person who's responsible for keeping them in the prison is going to die. Roman citizen, he gets his head cut off. That's gross. But that's what's going to happen. And so this jailer, he comes in. The jailer, he comes in with his sword drawn, and he sees everybody loose, and he thinks he's going to die. And so he's getting ready to stab himself and just kill himself because he doesn't want to go through all the humiliation of all of that. And I hollered at him. I said, don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. We're still all here. He can't believe it. So he gets a light, gets a lantern, you know, and he comes down in the rubble there, and we're all okay, and we're all there. And he just can't believe it. And you know what he said? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh man, that's so awesome. When somebody asks you that, that's so awesome. Because now I get to share the gospel with them. I get to share the good news of Jesus with them. And I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And your house, everybody in your household can get saved that way. The same way. The same way. You know what, young people? Kids get saved the same way old people get saved. By putting their faith and their trust in Jesus. It's just the same. Some of you, I know, have gotten saved when you were little. 4, 5, 6 years old. Anybody like that? Yeah. You know how old I was? 18. I grew up in a home. I knew all these stories when I was a kid. And I loved all the stories, but I never put my faith and trust in Jesus till I was 18. But you know what? My roommate in college started reading the scripture to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God commendeth his sin toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us. He went through, and I got saved the same way you did. And you know what? As the Apostle Paul got saved the same way. I was on the road to where?
Lake of fire.
But literally, I was on the road to, what town was I going to? Damascus. And a great light shone from heaven. Did the light save me? No, it didn't. It was when I put my faith and trust in Jesus that I got saved. Just like you did. Just like you did. So, the Philippian jailer there in Philippi, we call him the Philippian jailer because I should remember his name, but I'm pretty old, so I forgot. The Philippian jailer took us into his home. And can you imagine this? That jailer washed us up, washed all the sores on our backs, took care of us, and he fed us. Now, I was very, very thankful for that. And the jailer said, now what am I going to do with you? So we stayed there for the night, and he went and told the leaders of the city what had happened, and they said, oh, just tell them to go away. And Paul says, and I told him, I said, we're Roman citizens, and you beat us without a trial. So you come and invite us to leave. You set us free. And they did. And you know, that was awesome. But can you think about it? If you got beat till your back was bloody, would you feel all better the next day?
No.
No. Actually, probably by the third day, it's as sore as it was when you got beat or worse. It just keeps getting worse and worse. But we traveled on to some other houses. I guess I didn't get caught up on that. And we went to these places, and I ended up in this place called Athens. And I'll tell you another story. Okay? You okay with that? Can I tell you another story about what happened at Athens? This is awesome too, but we didn't get beat at Athens. Okay? Nothing exciting like getting all beat up and bloody, which I could really do without, but you know what? For the cause of Christ, I'm willing to go through whatever. It's worth it to see one person come to know Jesus, even like that jailer. But it was not the jailer only, it was the jailer and his whole household. They put their trust in the Lord Jesus. After we came out of that prison, and we traveled then, we went to a couple other towns, and we ended up in Athens. And I'm walking around in Athens, and I'm waiting for some of my travel companions for Timothy and Silas to catch up with me. I had to sneak out of another town because they were going to beat me too. My life as a missionary is pretty exciting. It's like an adventure. So I'm in Athens and I'm walking around and I see this town, this whole town, and it's filled with idols. And we went to a place that, and it was things like this. And some of them are really strange. Some of them made out of stone, some of them covered with gold, some of them, look, can you imagine an idol? What does that look like? But what's that? Looks like a man's hand and it's got feet. That's just weird. And how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 arms? That's a monstrosity. But you know what? Young people, that's the way it is with things that are ungodly. They really are monstrosities. They might look interesting. You be careful with it because it's really, really, really weird. But there's this place called the Areopagus. And I don't know if I'm saying it the way everybody else says it around here, but that's what I say. Another name for it, Mars Hill. But it's like a place where philosophers, really, really smart people would come. And they would debate religion. You know, they would have a way to talk about serious. Tell?
Mars is a Roman god.
That's right. You're right. So it must be that hill, right? Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's good. All right. So, they invited me to come there and to share with them this new religion that I had been preaching about and talking about in the marketplace. I didn't talk to many people about it. And the main thing that they were interested in was the resurrection. That's okay, you know? Now, in chapter 17 of Acts, verse 18, it said there were certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And what's funny about this is, and it really is kind of humorous, the Stoics and the Epicureans were on opposite ends. The Epicureans said, let's live and party and let's have a good time and everything feels good and all of that kind of thing. And the Stoics were, no, let's be really serious and let's not do any of that. Let's make our bodies suffer and we'll appease the gods and all of those kind of things. But both of them thought that the people who worshiped the idols were stupid. It just doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. So they're both wrong. They're all three wrong. So Paul said, Paul, you come and talk to us at the Areopagus and tell us about it. So I started with this truth. Okay? I've gone all through the city. I've seen all your idols. And I have even seen an altar to the unknown God. So in all of their idols, they figured there's at least another God, but they don't even know about it. Well, you know what? Turns out they were what?
Right.
Yeah, they're right. They're right. So I told them, I said, hey, I will tell you about this unknown God. I'm going to tell you about this God that, do you know? This is the God. Let me read what Luke wrote down so we get it right here, okay? The one whom you worship without knowing, I proclaim to you. God who made the world, everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their of pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord. Now, I've got some more that I was preaching in there as well. But I want to stop there for just a minute. And I want to explain a couple things to you, because it says here, God who made the world and everything in it, He's the God of creation. Are there people, Epicureans, Stoics, idolaters, are there people who believe that God doesn't even exist?
Yeah,
there are. There are people that believe that God doesn't even exist. Well, I have a question for them, but we'll wait and just wait. They believe that's what they believe, really. That there's a great big turtle, and that there are like six elephants holding the world up. Does that make any sense?
No.
You know what the book of Job says? It says there that God hung the world on nothing. And you know what I think is cool? It's stayed there. Can you imagine that? He hangs the world on nothing and it stays there. God keeps it there. I heard somebody say gravity. From what? The sun. But we're spinning around the sun. We're going around the sun. If there's gravity, then the sun ought to suck us in. Right? If I drop my pointer, where's it going to go?
Down.
So why doesn't the earth just go down? Because in outer space there is no down.
There's no gravity.
Yeah. You know, well, we could talk about this for a long time. What's your question? Alright. I like to talk about this stuff because God made the world. Right there. And He hung it on nothing. And He said, stay there. And He goes around the earth, it goes around the sun just like He said it should. And the planets go around just like they. And He flung the stars out into the heavens. Boom! Out they went! Billions and billions and billions of stars. And He calls them all by
name.
And they all stay where they are supposed to stay. He was amazing. And He made all the fish in the sea and the sea creatures and all the animals. Oh, those are birds. He made all the birds. How many of you saw the eagle flying around today? How does that eagle know how to fly? Who told it how to fly? God put it in the eagle's brain. This is how you fly. And you know a hummingbird flies different than an eagle? You ever seen a hummingbird?
Yeah.
You ever seen it in slow motion? Man, the eagle fast. I mean, they move. And the eagle is just up there. God did that. No, what did they? I don't know what kind of bird those are. But no, that nest is only about that big. It's smaller than robin nest. I think, I don't know. The hummingbird would have been smaller even than that. Well, I took the picture, so maybe I don't know. How many of you wouldn't mind having a lion for a pet? I think that'd be awesome. I don't like cats, but I think a lion for a pet would be awesome. Who made them?
God
did. This is my favorite picture of the heavens. You know why? Because this is one of the galaxies that's the farthest away. It's called the Tadpole Galaxy. It's one of the galaxies that's the farthest away that they can see a decent shape on a galaxy. It's like millions of light years away. I guess, if that's how they measure, I don't know. But you know, in the background, what do you see? You look like stars, but you know what they said? They said it's so far away that any light you see is a galaxy. It's another galaxy. And they said how many hundreds of thousands of galaxies are in just that picture that they can see there. And that's just one little part of space. How big is God? He is so big, and he is so awesome. And so I'm up there on Mars Hill, and I'm preaching about this God who made the heavens and the earth. And he doesn't live in a temple. Let me look at one other thing, because this has to do with you. You're going to have to listen real careful. In verse 26, he says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. I have a friend here. I get to see him about once every, I don't know how long, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, it's been a long time. His name is Emilio.
Emilio.
Emilio. Mm-hmm. He's coming up right now.
What?
He's coming up right now.
Hey, Emilio.
Buenos dias, senor.
Buenos dias. Good morning.
Good morning. Buenas noches. Thank you. Buenos dias. What language did I try to talk?
Spanish.
So, Emilio, where are you from?
I am from Peru.
I should have a microphone for you.
Peru is in South America.
Peru, okay, you hear? I've got some questions written down here, so I have to make sure that I ask the right question.
Right.
It's from Peru? Would that be good? Awesome. Okay. What's your occupation? What do you do for a living?
Computer developer.
Computer developer. Okay. Computer
software developer.
So he works with computers. I don't know about that other. We didn't have computers when I was young. No. How old were you when you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
I was it was like 8 years ago.
8 years ago. 8 years ago. So you weren't a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You speak Spanish, right?
Yes.
How did you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Did you speak Spanish to him?
No.
Okay.
I trust because I get to know the Lord, and he told me that, you know, by believing in him, we will not perish, but we'll have everlasting life.
You know, and that's the same way I do.
Yes.
Now I'm going to ask a question, and I want you young people to think about this. Right? Because we live in a time when there are a lot of race issues, right? Everybody gets angry at everybody else. How did Emilio trust Jesus? He put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus. I put my faith and the trust in the Lord Jesus the same way. Now let me ask you, are we of the same skin color?
I'm whiter than you.
Blood. Be careful. What did I just read in the Bible? God made all nations of one blood.
Yes. One blood.
One blood. And he trusts Jesus the same way I trust Jesus. That makes us brothers in Christ.
Right.
We are in the same blood. Family. We're in the same family. I want you young people to get a hold of that. With all of the discussion and all of the things that are going on in your world about races and ethnic groups and this and that and everything else, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no difference. We may have a different skin color. We may talk a different language. But we're still one in Christ.
Yes. There's one God.
There's one God. One Savior for all men. And I am so thankful. When I see Lily and Emilio, What's that girl's name?
Oh, Angela.
When I see them here at camp, I am all excited because they love the Lord. Even though they're from Peru.
Well, Angela's not.
Angela's from here.
Angela's from America, from the United States.
And I get excited about it when I see it because we're one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we can have fellowship together, and that's what he was preaching about on Mars Hill. Thank you, Emilio. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to learn this thing.
Oh, you know, I don't know. So what is it?
We push the off button, man?
I don't know.
I can't see it, so what is it?
I don't know if you drop it real quick.
You're comfortable. Yeah, there you go. Yes, you got it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you know what, young people? I come from Kansas, not from Minnesota. Not Paul doesn't, but Mr. Friesen does. Come from Kansas, not from Minnesota. My background is more Dutch-German. And you from Minnesota in this area are more Finnish and whatever. And you know what? We might look the same. We're of different ethnic backgrounds, but we still what? We still get saved.
Right.
The same way. It's the same Lord Jesus that saves you and saves me and saves everyone else. Very, 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 very important for us to remember. We've got some Native Americans here in our camp. And I'm thankful for that too, because you know what? The same Lord Jesus died for everyone. Doesn't matter what ethnic group you are, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter if you don't have any color. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you and he died for you the same. So I was preaching there on Mars Hill. Let's go back to the story on Mars Hill. And I was preaching there and I talked about God the Creator, and I talked about God being the giver of life. In verse 28, Luke says, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. Now I was walking across the campground today, and I found this. It just happened to be there. Right?
Someone put it there.
Someone put it there? Are you sure someone did?
Otherwise it wouldn't be there.
How many of you think somebody put it there? Well, actually, I didn't even find it in the cup. I found the tree, and then I went and found the cup, and then I put it in there. Somebody had to do that. And you know what? That whole thing is not very complicated. That pine cone was right beside it, so I just stuck it right there. That whole process was not very complicated, but every one of you in here knew that somebody had to do it. Right? It didn't just happen to be there. And all of a sudden it fell out of the sky. And there it was. Now stop and think about it. Just put your hands down. Just wait. Okay? Stop and think about it. You didn't just, all of a sudden you happen to be there. God created man. What of you young people, the ones that are in Mr. Bryan's class, Pastor Bryan's class, we've been studying through the fact that God created man, right?
Yeah.
He created Adam, he created Eve. He didn't just, all of a sudden, what? Right? But there's something else that's important. This is really important. Because it even has to do with the resurrection important. So you have to listen really careful. And those people there on Mars Hill, they listen really careful. And it says, in him we live and move and have our being. You know, living things come from rocks.
No. God.
If if I had a rock, I could have picked up a rock down here, and if we looked at it for millions and millions of years, maybe something living would come out of it.
You wouldn't live
that
long.
I wouldn't live that long?
Yeah.
Do you understand how ridiculous that sounds?
Yes.
If a tree came out of a rock, what was in the rock? A what?
A seed.
Yeah, a seed. If a tree came out of the dirt, what was in the dirt?
Seed.
A seed. Because living things come from living things. There's a law of nature that Louis Pasteur formulated, and it's called the law of biogenesis. It just simply means life begets life. There is another theory. It's false. It's the theory of spontaneous generation, which is really ridiculous because it just means that all of a sudden, boop, there's life from nothing. And if you think that somebody had to pull all of that together and it's just dirt, a cup, and a tree, can you imagine how complicated your body is when it didn't just come from nothing? It came from life. So if you are going to have, and here's where the resurrection comes in, because the Lord Jesus Christ, look, he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, so he is living or dead?
Living.
Living. And so he can give us what?
Life.
And that life is called?
Eternal
life. Amazing. So if you want eternal life, it has to come from someone who is living. And the Lord Jesus is living. You get it?
Yeah.
You know, some of the philosophers on Mars Hill got it. And there were some that believed. There were some that didn't believe. They said, that's ridiculous. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. There were some that asked questions. And they said, you know what? We want to hear more about this. You young people have an opportunity to hear more about it, because tonight your counselor is going to give you some devotion time together. You're going to spend some time in God's Word. And the most exciting thing that happened was not the beating that I got in Philippi, but the most exciting thing that happened on all of my travels was when people came to understand and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now for Mr. Friesen, the most exciting thing that could happen here at camp is for you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to put your faith and your trust in Him. That would excite me more than anything in all the world. Or if you say, you know what, I know Jesus as my Savior, but I haven't really been living for Him. I haven't been obeying Him. Like the Apostle Paul did, if you started obeying Him and you started living for Jesus, that would be so awesome. And it's not complicated. Just simply trust. There's another word that the Bible uses. It's called faith. Faith and trust. Pretty much the same thing. I put my faith. Every one of you put your faith in the chair that you're sitting on. You sat down on it, right? You trusted it to hold you up.
It's metal.
Yeah, that's all that faith is. You just put your trust in it. So my challenge to you tonight, and you've been awesome, you've listened well, I appreciate it much. But my challenge to you, do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or you just know about Him? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Are you obeying Him? Let's pray together, okay? Thank you, Father, for the time you've given us this afternoon, this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and his zeal in sharing your word, willing to suffer. And Lord, that one beating wasn't all.